B-Pod Studios.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I'm not done on Spectre yet.
Not done.
This is from June 17th, 2008. A spokesperson for Senator Arlen Specter confirmed Tuesday that he has dropped his call for an independent investigation into the NFL Spygate scandal. Specter, the ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, has repeatedly criticized NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and his response to allegations of illegal videotaping by the New England Patriots. 2 weeks ago, which was 2 weeks prior to him dropping it, he wrote, "If the NFL continues to leave a vacuum, Congress may be tempted to fill it. The lack of candor, the piecemeal disclosures, the changes in position on material matters, the failure to be proactive in seeking out other key witnesses and responding only when unavoidable evidence is thrust upon the NFL leads to the judgment that an impartial investigation is mandatory." 2 weeks later, Specter met with the Philadelphia Daily News editorial board and said, "I've gone as far as I can, and I will no longer pursue a full congressional investigation into Spygate." That's a big swing in 2 weeks, guys. I don't know. He just sort of went away. Does everybody remember that? He just sort of changed course and went away.
Changed his tone.
So maybe Trump got to him. Maybe it's all legit. Where's the money trail?
But maybe he got to him, and maybe he got paid off. But why would the kid want to expose his dad on this? I don't know. Bury the secrets with the burial.
The kid is telling the truth. God forbid someone in this world still do that.
Oh, God.
Well, the truth was that the Don came along and was offering a little campaign cash. I think it was money in Palm Beach. His house put down, though. Maybe the guy got a house out of it, a condo. You know?
Yeah.
Something like that, so. Right next to the Breakers.
Be careful. Maybe the Don can make this go away, too. Big kid better watch.
I know, really, 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 really close friend of yours.
Maybe he nailed it. Nailed it. Nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no argument here. I mean, I don't know. Would surprise you.
Way of the world.
Yeah.
Way.
Need a favor done? Call Buddy for a favor.
Way of the world.
Wake up.
Pay him off. We need this to go away. Pay him off. What does he want?
Damage control.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's got a price, and we'll find out what his is. The NFL, with their revenues and their billions of dollars and billionaire owners all over the place, they got a big issue on their hands.
Crisis control. Call Buddy Georgie Regan.
They don't want to be called in front of Congress, and all of a sudden, the whole idea of them going in front of Congress sort of fizzles out and goes away. And we're supposed to believe there wasn't anything going on behind the scenes, whether it was paying Arlen Specter or paying anybody else. Somebody was getting theirs on that one. Way of the world. Is Dante Hightower going to be a Patriot this season, Zoe?
I think he is. I don't hesitate on that. I do. I think he is. And I know there's people there talking, because obviously age contract, he opted out. Where's his head at? Sort of rearrange your priorities, too, from a family's perspective. Just had a baby. Just got married. I know he's been working out. So, I mean, you just kind of stop doing that when you're done.
All right. Well, Peter King on Monday released his NFL power rankings as of now. Last week of May.
Right.
That keyboard. We got to replace that keyboard. Stop. He has the Patriots number 17 in the NFL right now in his power rankings.
Right in the middle. About right.
Here's what he wrote. He wrote, "Except for Green Bay, no team this morning is as full of questions as the Patriots. That's mostly a good thing. Is Cam Newton somewhere north of awful, as he was last year? How can Cam hold off Mac Jones? Will Bill Belichick try to go 2007 by trading for Julio Jones? Will Dante Hightower resume his strong career in the middle of the Pats D, or will Belichick permanently opt him out?" the questions are, will Cam be better? Can Mac Jones beat out Cam? Will they make a trade for Julio Jones? Those are all big storylines we've been talking about. And the next question is, will Dante Hightower continue his career, or will Bill Belichick cut his ass? Forgive me, but I don't think that was a major topic on our radar. But when Peter King writes that, you know how he is. He drops a little knowledge bomb on you without you even knowing it. Here's Paul Perillo, friend of Hardy. That's what I would, friend of us all, but
love Paul.
Love Paul Perillo. Frequent contributor to the Felger and Maz show in the football season. I'd love it if we could make him maybe even more of a frequent contributor around here.
Yep.
I love hearing Pauly Paul.
Paul can do topics.
Yep. Paul Perillo on Patriots Unfiltered, his take on the situation after reading this from Peter King.
It was another example of, is this guy going to be around?
Right.
And I took it as, coupled with that, was it Spike King you guys said last week, said he's Spike mulling King. Retirement?
Yeah.
I think the Patriots are looking at him to give some money back.
Interesting.
They may
take.
Have gone to him. They may have gone to him too. Like, you got to get Gilmore done. Say you're going to get Julio done. It's going to put you over the cap. So now you go to your other older veterans. Like, hey, what are we doing here? You know, maybe that accelerated Chung's departure. I don't know. You go to those guys, the McCourties. You know, that's what you do. Normal pecking order, right? We've looked at this contract,
but you know how that typically ends. Typically, because not in all instances. Because I believe...
I know Bill loves the player.
I believe there has been a previous instance in which they asked Devin McCourty to take a pay cut. Not widely reported, but he said no. Yeah. And they said, okay. And then that was it. He came back and kept playing. They weren't going to move on from that player. I feel as if Dante Hightower is in a different position. He's closer to the end.
Yeah.
He's at the end of his contract. And so that question is, you know, what do you do with Dante Hightower?
Yeah. Plus, you go to the player, too. Like, okay, you've been out of it a year. Where's your head? How you feeling? How you thinking? Here's what we're thinking.
Looking at the dead cap money and cap savings potential for Dante Hightower. If he is released at any point, the Patriots will save $9.945 million. Dollars.
That's the only reason.
Round that up.
It's the only reason we're talking about this. See, like, you bring back.
There
you
is
bring
$10
back.
Million in cap savings if they let him go tomorrow or they let him go a month from now.
See,
they free $10 million.
I bring back Van Noy. I signed Judon to play with him. I don't sign those guys. I don't bring Van Noy back on a second chance and Judon as a new guy to sort of just plug a rook in the middle, you know, and roll with it, or a second-year guy in Jennings. I bring those guys in to play with Hightower from a communication standpoint. Hightower's going to run your front seven. He's going to bark it out. Van Noy's going to get all the calls. You know, instead of, you know, we got to teach a young guy to do that. That's the way I look at it. I look at it as him being here.
Spike King himself is on the line. T-Bone tells me, which line is he on? I don't see him on the board. Oh, I see him now. I'm sorry. Spike King, what do you got for us, kid?
Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys?
What's up?
So I just heard you guys talking about the Hightower thing. I've been kind of working on it over the last year just from things I've been hearing, right? So you guys just talked about the dead cap situation. He's supposed to be making 12 mil. If they cut him, it's only a dead cap of two. You save 10 mil. Just interesting timing, too, with Hightower. Got married over the weekend. If you opt out last year, don't you think you want to be part of the OTAs? Don't you think that you should be showing up?
No, no. Not these guys of this stature.
I agree. I think it's changed, though.
You look at Rodgers, you look at Brady. They've learned to work away now, and I think the veterans now don't want to do this
stuff. Brady won a championship last year and played his balls off. Hightower didn't want to play, and that's okay.
Right.
I'm not criticizing that decision, but now if you're coming back...
Five wide receivers for the Packers didn't show up yesterday, you know, because they're with Rodgers.
Did they play last season?
Yeah, they're the starters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dante Hightower didn't, and that's his point.
So I just want to track back into... It goes back into when they lost to the Titans in the playoff game, and what I was told at that time was Dante Hightower lost the love of the game for football. He was going to play the last year of his contract, and that was it. Then COVID came. Then his son came. Then he opted out. So things started trickling. And then in November, when I put it out there, at that time in November, I was told he didn't want to come back. He didn't want to play. Now people are asking, well, why is he still on there? Why isn't he retired yet? What's going on? Maybe they're trying to restructure a deal. Maybe they told him, hey, you got to pay for less money this year.
Maybe. Sure. And maybe after sitting out, you find out, hey, I missed it. The world feels like it's getting back to normal here. Wife's good. Kid's good. I'm going to go back, give it one more shot. You know, Devin's still there. I don't, you know, Gilmore, I want
to
play with those.
He's going to have to prove that he's worth having on the roster in the spring and summer months prior to them getting to the season. I don't think he's a sure lock to be on this roster. If they see a decline, they're going to cut him. They are. And here's the thing with him. They wanted him signed through age 30, not through age 31. The final year of his contract was supposed to be last year.
Right.
Not this year.
Right.
And he's another year older.
All fair.
And he's a year removed from playing football. And the fact that not here in the spring is a little concerning if you're hoping that he's there and he's going to make an impact. We'll pick that up on the other side. 617-779-0985. We'll talk to Brad Stevens coming up at 1250.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right. But it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blake Griffin's getting annoyed now. Harden gets it back from Kyrie on the drive. There's the handoff to Blake Griffin, and there's the slam with the left hand, but he fended off. Did he or did he not? Look, he fended off, but they called a foul on somebody. Looks like an and one. Sorry, guys. We're doing our best. Not giving us much to work with. Harden knocked down Smart. They didn't call that. Blake Griffin got brushed a little bit by Rob Williams on the dunk.
Was Grandy okay last night, by the way?
He was pissed.
What happened with the audio? Does anyone know that story?
Supposedly, they didn't get stuff fed back to them. So that'd be like calling it cold in like a closet. And when you're calling a game with the parabolic mics and that, and your sideline mics, courtside mics, you hear all the squeaks, the dribbles, you know, the whistles. They weren't getting anything. We don't know. We don't even hear whistles. Like, we're trying to explain what's happening while watching it. Pretty much tone deaf.
I saw apologies from Grandy to the listening audience. Saw that. I didn't know what was going on. All the highlights I've heard sound fine. Yeah. Everything sounds okay.
We should have Dennis in. We should talk to Dennis.
Maybe we should get a member of the engineering staff to explain to us what the malfunction was.
They got three of them walking around.
Right after that,
one stops, the other one runs into that one, and the third one runs into the second one.
Right after that, we'll get Pierre on the line to tell us what's going on with the call screener all these years. 617-779-0985. Celtics were embarrassed last night, and I want to get back to your Celtics calls because you've been hanging on.
Thank you for hanging.
You've been hanging on the Celtics.
We see you.
Jake in Boston hanging long time on the Celtics. Jake.
Yeah, give me 60 seconds uninterrupted here. The Celtics need an organizational enema, and I am not talking about just the on-court product. We're talking ownership, the fan base, marketing, sales, the whole thing. Here we are. You've got a playoff game in a few hours yesterday, and your social media account posts a team photo with players wearing shirts that say change is now, which we obviously know is aligned with the one-year anniversary. Here's the problem. How utterly tone-deaf are you as a marketing team, whom I won't name because I know them, when the change that the fan base wants are people fired and traded? That's the change. Then you go out and you lose by 20, which without garbage time is more like 40, and you still got called a racist by Kyrie.
That's different.
Hey, little thing, let me light your candle, cause the mama on show on the henna now, yes, around.
We should start playing him out.
We just did. Can't rip off Paulie, though. We need something else for him.
Paulie already texted.
What'd he say?
He texted Jim.
And?
Oh, it was about Hardy. He's complaining about Hardy's about fourth hour brought to you by.
I mean, it's been addressed with the bosses.
Management did come down and speak to Hardy about the mistakes he's been making. So
it was a long meeting.
I would say.
No. I did see it. There was a conversation.
Right. There was a conversation about it, and I believe today we'll see a change.
It was a keen ear by
Pollard. We'll hear a change.
Yep. I don't think you will.
Well, we'll just have to wait. Kevin is in Nashville. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
I want to know why Brad Stevens doesn't support his players, like not supporting Jason Tatum when he got poked in the eye. I mean, isn't it time for him to stand up for his players and let them know he's there for them?
How so? In what way?
I mean, get mad, get upset, get angry, yell at a ref, get a ref to call something. I mean, you can't just stand there and watch your players get beat up.
For
an
accidental eye poke? Do you think that was intentional?
Do you think it was a foul?
Sure, but what does that have to do with standing up for the player? I'm not sure.
He was more concerned with the eye of the player, I think. Sent him into the locker room and didn't play him after that.
You got to get a foul. I mean, you're talking about a series. You're talking about trying to get a call. How many other coaches stand there with their hands crossed? You got to fight for every call. You got to fight for the foul. I mean, they didn't even call a foul. I mean,
okay. I don't think that that's what's wrong with the Celtics. You know what the bigger problem with the Celtics is? They suck compared to the Nets. Their roster isn't half of what the Nets are.
I'm not going
to
sit there.
They're 10% of what the Nets are.
We're watching it right now. Brad sees him go down, starts walking towards him, checks on him, and then keeps walking, goes to the ref right here. I mean, I don't know what more you can do. They didn't see the quick poke to the eye. We saw it underneath the bucket, the second angle. Granny didn't know what it was happening. And then, Tatum's down. Like, that happening went down. You don't, like, now call the foul if you miss it.
My guess is, and I'm sorry, Dan. My guess is you heard Mike Gorman this morning say that he doesn't think Tatum plays on Friday.
He said he doesn't think he plays the rest of the series.
Yeah, my guess is he legitimately injured his eye. He's, you know.
Die, poison eye!
He's got an eye patch today. And he's got something that he... You know, scratched a cornea there.
What would we be doing if we... What if that was LeBron last night? What would we be
saying? Thank you! What if it was Jordan? What if it was Bird? What if it was Dennis Rodman? You think he would have gone back in after he got poked in the eye?
I'm with Hardy on this. Why do you send him back out in full gear?
He may have hurt his eye.
Yeah, Brad said he did. He scratched it up pretty good and it was swollen.
Can I ask a question about the eye injury, though?
Sure.
Why does he need to hit the deck after hurting his eye?
Equilibrium.
It's such a
I'd go sit in that seat.
It's like, why does he fall down? He's walking and he just falls down.
You ever get poked in the eye? It's like adrenaline disrupting your inner ear. It throws off your equilibrium.
That I didn't get. That was a little dramatic to
hit
the deck.
Well, you've never had a good eye poke.
See, I don't know how you tell that from behind. Like you get it was
my
so
first
quick.
Instinct would not be to sit on the ground.
You can't see. You don't want to be stumbling around and trip over a chair.
You can't even see him get poked there. Like you were, they had to slow it down on the side
down. Sit down so bad. What are you sitting down for?
Because he got poked in the eye. Duh.
Paul Pierce got carted off. Okay.
My guess is you will not see him again. Then, if that's the case,
God,
corneal abrasion. You don't want that. Derek in Providence. Derek.
Oh, Derek.
All right, Derek's not there. We go back to Dan in Salem. Dan.
Guys, today's calls on the Celtics have really bothered me, and I've noticed something about the fan base now. They're starting to turn into the old fan base of the Red Sox. They're talking about the impossible dream and how great everything is and how great that team was. And people are starting to talk about how great Jason Tatum is. He's a great offensive player, but he's not going to win you a championship. From what everything I've seen, he's got no balls, just like the organization. They're all taking the same personality as this organization. There's no balls. There's no fire. There's no heart. Jake in Boston, I never agreed with him until today. This whole organization needs a complete enema. It's in its serious need of one. And I am tired of this team. I'm so checked out on this team. They need to release and trade as many of these guys as they can. I'm tired of the Grant Williams of the world. I'm tired of Taco. Put in some talent, get rid of Danny, get rid of Brad. I've had enough. I'm done watching these shows, and I'm done with Scal now trying to defend some of these people, too. I love Scal,
but I'm tired of him defending this organization. I know he's a big part of it, but it's time to start ripping some of this team.
I think Scal might be tired of it, too.
I think you need to listen to Scal when Scal leaves the game and goes and gets on set with Perk and Abby.
First of all, Dan.
Scal tells it like it is when he's on set. Not during a game, that's different. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know why the calls have upset him today. The calls have been nothing but overwhelmingly negative bashing the team today. Who here has defended the Celtics today? What caller has called in to say things are pretty good for the Celtics?
But this is...
Other than Brandon in Boston, who somehow thinks they're going to win a game and that to say they'll be swept is disrespect. But other than that, everyone has called in to say the Celtics blow. No one has defended them. Nobody's doing it.
From an intensity and edge standpoint, this is why I've always gravitated more towards Jaylen Brown than Tatum. I know Tatum's smooth and he could score.
But you think his eye injury was fraudulent?
No, I don't think. We're not doing that. Okay. He got poked in the eye and it obviously bugged him. But if that's LeBron, we're crushing LeBron today.
There's part of Dan's call that bothers me.
What's that?
I'll save it. We'll get to Hardy's headlines. Right. We'll come back. We'll talk to Brad Stevens coming up in 20 minutes. So don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Watch out.
Okay, I got to mention these emails from Georgie.
Georgie
Bellegrino. Nice. I like his emails because he like preemptively emails into crap on your Tatum takes before you even have them. So
that's good. Well, you know it's coming.
He gets ahead of them, which is just wonderful stuff. But he is repeatedly emailed today. About, as his email this morning, his subject line this morning was, here comes the Zoe Tatum slander, round 237. But he just emailed again saying, Tatum has a groin injury. He hurt it in game one, poked in the eye game two. What are they supposed to do? Let their best player get hurt in a meaningless series? The only smart thing Ainge and Stevens have done this series is letting him sit down and not risk further injury.
Oh, God.
I don't know why you aren't mentioning his groin, which is a legitimate injury.
Is that why he fell?
Did you know he had a groin?
Ah!
Hurts his eye and he's so like, oh, now, yeah, my groin.
My groin and my eye.
Now we got to ask the coach in 10 minutes. He's got a groin too, huh, coach?
They're all connected.
He does. That was reported yesterday. Yeah. That's out there.
Is it affecting his play, though?
He's able to play. Is it affecting his play? I'm going to say likely. He suffered the injury in game one.
I get more concerned. And Georgie, I give him credit on the COVID stuff. Like, he can't breathe the way he used to be able to breathe. But he's still able to score 50.
And Georgie is not some homer. He said, was Tatum in his first email earlier in the day, 8:47 a.m. he got after it. Hardy's on these ones, too. He says, was Tatum soft to leave the game? Yes. Do you blame him, though, he writes? The Celtics are getting smacked.
Yeah.
What do you want him to stay in there for pride and risk injury in a meaningless series?
Yes.
He says, grow up. The team sucks. Tatum gets doubled every time and is playing through a groin injury to boot. Sit him the rest of the series and get on to next year. This slap in the face is exactly what Wick needs to move on from that overrated hack Danny Ainge who lives off his glory from 08. It's harsh. Is that as harsh as saying that Kevin McHale made Danny Ainge? That's what I've said today. I didn't call him an overrated hack. I'm not name calling.
Right.
He says, least successful GM in Boston for the last 12 years. Fire Danny. Trade Brown, smart for Beal, sign Lonzo Ball. Oh, and bleep Kyrie. just throw that in there for good measure. Derek in Providence is back. Hi, Derek.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Sure. Hey, let me ask you a quick question, right? In the past 3 years, with the only outlier being Robert Williams, who was a good draft pick, what moves has Danny made that have really benefited this team? Like, I can't even think of one. I can't. I mean, the four first-round picks that he's had in the past 4 years, most of these guys are role players and barely even have ability to play in this league. And he's hoarded these picks for years and years because he's afraid of people coming in here and then leaving. And that's just been an ongoing trend. Even Brad Stevens' coup de grace at Butler didn't want to stay here. So doesn't that put still the writing on the wall that Danny might be the problem? I mean, what he did to Isaiah Thomas years ago, I think, is really echoing with players that, you know, you can't trust this guy because you don't know if he values you or not.
But he did get Horford here to, you know, sort of start that process. We've talked
Horford,
about it. Then Hayward
traded for Kyrie. Those are all good moves.
I mean, that picture's only 2 years old. That thing's fresh. Still off the printer. Look at your starting five. Like, ooh, that's pretty good. Then it fell apart. And now Kyrie is throwing salt in the wound.
Sure is.
Yeah. On and off the court.
Yep.
Which is going to force and a pretty in-depth look at your organization. Yeah. Not to say you hired the wrong people, but us structured as a team. What are our flaws? What do we need to do better? You know?
Joe is in the car today. Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. Much respect. I want to talk about the fact that the Celtics are not that they're a less skilled team. We know that. That's understandable. But don't say ever that teams that are not skilled as the other team don't win or at least don't make it competitive. They're not making it competitive. They're not standing up. And it looks like a circus show out there. I'm ashamed of it. Play like the Detroit Pistons used to play. Get up in their face, and even if you're putting
yeah.
in your son.
I was waiting for someone to bring up the 04 Pistons.
Yeah. Hardy,
there we go.
Hardy, who's ordering the code red?
The one team in NBA history that had less talent and less skill that managed to win the championship. It's happened precisely once. It's not a recipe you should attach yourself to. It's not a formula you can depend on. It happened one time, and it was awesome. It was great. But to think that you could do it again, to
now,
think that all the
2021,
all the Celtics have to do is figure out a way for Marcus Smart to be like Rip Hamilton and Kemba Walker. You're gonna have to be like Chauncey Billups. No, it happened one time, and that was 17 years ago.
I think what he also was talking about though is the old school Pistons that would play a very physical style of basketball, and would, you know, put a little bit of fear into their opponents at times. Mm.
Yeah, but they also had really good players. Bill Laimbeer, for as detestable as he was a really good player.
Correct.
Rick Mahorn was really good.
I think you're getting
Isaiah
too deep
Thomas
into it. I think he's just saying
really
he wants to see that. He wants to see them maybe gooning it up a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's not going to change anything.
Cedric Maxwell tweeted this last night before the game. It is astonishing to me that in 655 games, neither Tatum nor Brown have ever even had a dust-up with an opponent. Time to put your big boy drawers on. The refs don't count either, boys, as in your fights with the refs don't count as dust-ups.
He said the same thing on TNR.
I mean, what is that going to do, though?
I would say
to the caller or to Cedric Maxwell, okay, so Brown or Tatum.
Put somebody on notice. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know how Brown's going to do that last night because he's hurt and not playing.
But it's an indictment on the stretch of their careers as to how you want to play. Want them to play from a physical standpoint.
So Tatum, it's on Tatum then last night to go out and get into a dust up with one of the players.
Who's the
on
big,
the Nets roster?
Who's the for, big?
What's that going to do exactly?
Who's the big stars on their team that would create dust ups? Harden do that? Kyrie, Durant? Durant will get in a shout, man. He ain't going to hit anybody. He's a freaking beanpole. Does Curry do it? LeBron really doesn't do it. He dives.
Coming up next, we will be joined by the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is with us. Hi, Brad.
Hi, guys.
Hey, coach. Before we get to the spot you guys are in currently in this first round, obviously Jason Tatum got his eye scratched last night, did not finish the game. I think a lot of people assume, okay, he'll probably be ready to go Friday. Mike Gorman was on our morning show, and he said he may not expect him to play the rest of the series. Is that a fair take? Do you agree with that, or is there a possibility that he'll be back or not be back?
The last I heard, which was last night when we got off the plane, we're not meeting until 4 o'clock today. The last I heard was that he was doing better and that Friday looked like a probable at that time. But you never know how guys are going to get up and react and how it's going to feel today and everything else. But they felt pretty good about him being able to go.
Okay, good.
Now that you've had a little bit of time since last night, what are your thoughts today after sleeping on it, the result of last night's game?
Well, they obviously really got going on the offensive end of the floor right out of the gate. And their pace, their ball movement, the way that they spread us out, and the way that they, when we did overcommit in isolation, sprayed the ball around, really put us in a bind, and we didn't handle it well. You know, I thought in game one we defended with great purpose, with the right way, with great physicality, and we weren't as good in game two. And, you know, I think that that's something that we have to get back to as we get ready for game three, because obviously, you know, you're never gonna hold a good team, completely from getting the ball to go through the net and completely from getting what they want. But the whole idea, the whole purpose of playing as one, playing on a string, being on one page, and doing things with great physicality is to limit it and to just make it an uncomfortable experience. And we just didn't do that enough last night. You know, I thought we started the game scoring the ball, but we just weren't as engaged defensively, and that made it more difficult.
So if the Nets are playing at their absolute best in this series, and they do that and they come out of the gate the same way they did last night in the next two games, can you win a game in this series?
Our job in competing is to not let them play their best. I mean, that's the whole point, right? You prepare, you try to take away what they do best and make them go to counters and make them do things that are a little bit more uncomfortable. You know, I thought that in game one we did a good job of limiting the comfort level of the whole team. You know, yesterday everybody felt free and easy. And so we have to get back to making it, just challenging everything on every single possession on one page with great physicality. This team demands a ton of attention, right, on each possession. And we need to do a better job that's the bottom line. Your job as a competitor is to not let them play the way they want to play.
And to me, to an untrained eye, like, I feel like if we were talking about the Celtics in the first half of game one, the other night, we would say, well, the shots just didn't go in. But since it's the Nets, we tend to look at it and it's like, wow, defensively, were the Celtics really good? Was there an element to that, though, Brad? Like, last night, the Nets hit their shots in the first, especially, you know, right out of the gate. And that, I mean, or is it, was it a problem defensively with you guys?
No, it was, I thought it was much different, the feel, you know, and yes, occasionally the ball going through the net opens up, you know, confidence and, you know, the next shot has a better chance of going in, and you just get into a rhythm as a team. But, you know, openness of shots, the way that they were finding each other, the speed with which they were getting into the shots, we were a step behind. That was different than game one. And so they were getting better looks. They did a really good job of doing that. We did not do as good of a job at making those looks more difficult. Did they miss some in game one that they could certainly? Sure. that always happens. But again, that at the end of the day, your job as a team is to challenge and make it as difficult as possible. We didn't do that yesterday like we did it in game one.
All right. You get to that second half last night, and you as a coach, you're going to watch your team and see things differently than people that tend to want to pile on when the game's in hand the way it was. Other than Marcus Smart making a couple shots there to where you get it under 20, did anything stand out to you where you see from a positive standpoint, like with one of the young kids maybe, and how they responded,
yeah,
even in
sure.
defeat?
Okay. For sure. I thought we had a couple of the young guys played pretty well there in the last 15 minutes. Now, we've talked about this a lot, and I know we've talked about it on your show quite a bit as well. It's easy to play from behind. Like, it's a much easier task, right, when the game is out of reach, you're just playing. The other team isn't quite as dialed in, and, you know, obviously they had a number of their better players out at that time. But the purpose with which that group played, a couple of the individual contributions in that group are certainly noted here as we move into game three.
We're talking with Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Brad, after the game last night, Kyrie Irving had some comments that indicated he had been someone who has dealt with subtle or maybe even possibly overt racism in Boston. I know we've talked with you about this before. Were you surprised by his comments, and have you heard from any player in your tenure as Celtics head coach that they have dealt with racism playing in Boston?
I have not heard from anybody directly. I certainly take any comments like that. I think you should take very, very seriously. And, you know, I know from the standpoint of, and I don't know what context Kyrie was talking about. I don't know if it was.
It was about being booed, I think.
Or in the arena. Yeah. I don't know what context he was discussing there. But I do think, like, I know that the Garden, I know that the Celtics, I know that the NBA, I know that everybody, you know, is very alert to making sure that, you know, our fans don't cross the line. Right. And I think that's really important. And people, you know, shouldn't ever feel like they're being discriminated against. And so number one, I think that everybody is dialed into that. Now, that, you know, that hasn't been brought to my attention that that's happened, maybe but once or twice since I've been here, and it was dealt with immediately. But, you know, maybe it's happened and guys haven't talked about it. And, you know, certainly, you know, Kyrie had never mentioned anything to me about it, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. And, you know, I think that those things should always be taken really seriously.
You get a bigger crowd on Friday night. Sunday, place will be packed to the wall. How much can that help your team, especially with a guy like Jaylen that's down and maybe Jason being up in the air here?
You know, I think about it for two ways. Number one, Scott, is I think of you. It is always great to play playoff basketball in TD Garden and to get a chance in front of any fans after what everybody has been through this year. It's something you're extremely grateful for. To think about the idea that you're going to have a packed house on Sunday night, it makes you pinch yourself because, you know, the first time, the only time the Nets had played here in the regular season this year was Christmas Day, and you could hear a pin drop. There was nobody there. You know, it was just, yeah, it was the two teams, a couple of front office executives, the officials, people working the scores table, and that was it. And so much different. And to us, obviously, just like to you, like, you turn on these TVs. Like, I don't know how you felt, but, like, I turned on the Knicks-Hawks game the other day, and Madison Square Garden was just hopping. And it was like, that made me feel a little bit better about where we're all headed, right? I mean, it just made me feel a little bit better about, you know, that hopefully we're making progress here.
Yeah, and it's funny with the Nets. I know they had to do that late push to sort of pack their building, but, you know, with all the talent that they have, but you could noticeably hear that, you know, the chants and everything on TV. So hopefully your team will react well to that.
But you know this, like, I'd way more rather have people in the stands and people cheering against us and that place is packed and you're in a real environment than nobody there. Like, you
no,
just,
God, yeah.
that's what you live for. I mean, that is the fun part about being a part of this league and competing. And so it's more fun at home. Don't get me wrong, but it's I certainly would.
Sometimes. Sometimes it's more fun at home.
Yeah. No, it's always good to get a chance to compete in TD Garden.
All right, Coach, appreciate the time, and best of luck here moving forward in the series.
Good luck this weekend.
All right, guys. Be well.
All right. Brad Stevens with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
So it sounds like Tatum's going to play.
That's
good. Yeah. I got a little nervous when I heard that from Mike this morning. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, you figure you wait all year as a fan to get in and see your big player. And
he knows the severity of an eye injury.
Yeah.
Well, you know, get serious business. Lose your vision.
Yep.
You don't want to do that.
I get poked in the eye with nothing.
You don't want that. Hardy has our headlines. He's going to get us caught up on everything going on. All right? 90
Sounds
seconds.
Good.
We're right back. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.